Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Lightning fans, you found the right show for everything you need to know about your favorite team in the NHL. It's the Lightning Insider Podcast with Eric Erlandson. Get ready for insight, historical perspective, interviews, and breaking news that comes from a reporter insider who's got near 20 years on the tip of a Lightning beat. Now for the latest with the Lightning, here's Eric.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Championship edition of the LightningInsider.com podcast. I am Eric Erlandson, your host from LightningInsider.com. And how you feeling, Lightning fans? How you doing? Did you sleep last night? Or this morning? Or did you even go to bed? Are you still out? Did this pop into your app while you were still out celebrating a victory? Hopefully, social distancing along the way and taking care of yourself from that aspect. But that certainly wasn't going to slow down the celebration outside Amalie Arena after the game. Boy, what a game it was. Tampa Bay is your 2020 COVID Cup champions. No. Stanley Cup champions. That's right. Finishing off the series against the Dallas Stars with a 2-0 victory. And the celebration was something to behold. Obviously, we've never witnessed anything even close to something like this with the whole bubble concept, the 24-team tournament, two hub cities down to one for the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final that were finished off in Edmonton. Hopefully, and I'm knocking on wood somewhere, we won't see anything like this again. But what a finish it was. What a tournament it was. That's what this was. This was a tournament. And to see the Lightning finish off this series, the manner in which they did, it's just earned. They earned what they won. They earned the right to lift that cup over their head. Not that any team that wins a cup doesn't earn it, but you know, this road that this team has been on for the last 5-6 years has just been an incredible stretch of success, only to be known for the failures. You think of the trip to the 2015 Stanley Cup Final, up 3-2 in the 2016 Eastern Conference Finals, lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins, miss the playoffs in 2017 by 1 point, back to the conference finals in 2018, lose again up 3-2 in the conference finals, only to have Washington come back and win the next two and then go on to win the Stanley Cup just as Pittsburgh did in 2016. And then, of course, what happened last year with the sweep at the hands of the Columbus Blue Jackets after a record-setting regular season. You know, this was a team that was starting to go down the path of some of the greatest teams in pro sports North American history to have success without ever winning, or to, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but they've just to have so much success without ever winning a title. You know, think of the Buffalo Bills and the success that they've had back in their early 90s, reaching where they make four straight Super Bowls and never won one of them. You know, they were going along that path. They were getting that title. They were the new Washington Capitals. It's kind of what they were. You know, once Washington got over that hump and captured a championship, of course, Washington had all of that regular season success and yet never got out of the second round until 2018. This is in the Alex Ovechkin era. You know, for them to have all that regular season success they had and never get past the second round, and then they beat Tampa Bay in 2018, overcame the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round. That had kind of been their demon in a lot of ways, and then they go on to beat the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final, and then you have what happened to Tampa Bay last year. This is exactly how this team was starting to be viewed, and we all knew that they were coming towards the end of this window, so to speak, of this opportunity with the core players. You know, a lot of these players that have been with the team basically since 2014. You know, Stamkos, and Victor Hedman here a little bit longer. Of course, Stamkos, the number one overall pick in 2008, Hedman, the number two overall pick in 2009. But other than that, all these other players have basically been with the franchise since 2014. That includes a Tyler Johnson and Alex Killorn and Andre Palat. You know, that group of players that had helped steer this team, this franchise, to success and yet never get to the top of the mountain, metaphorically speaking. So it was a joy to watch. And you know, after what happened in Game 5 on Saturday with a chance to close out the series in back-to-back nights, after having won Game 4 in overtime, you're losing double overtime, there were questions. Like, those questions were starting to come up. Those questions were coming up in the conference finals as well when they lost Game 5 to the Islanders in double overtime. Right? I saw it on my timeline. Oh, so help me if they lose this series. Saw it again coming out of Saturday night's game. Oh, boy, if they lose this series. And this is what happens with the fan base too, right? Like, you don't want to taste that defeat again. You don't want to have to go through that pain again, the heartache, the suffering as a sports fan. You don't want to have to feel that again. And you just, when you're set up for doom, I guess you feel that the doom is always pending, no matter what happens. You know, and look, the players felt this pain too. You know, John Cooper had a terrific line after the game and kind of summing most of that up, where, you know, he was kind of talked about that a little bit and what it meant. He says, in a team sport, I truly believe that that failure, you have to feel it before you can have success. And then I guess that's that success you don't have to go through. Some don't have to go through that, but it makes it, if you wear the bumps, you wear the bruises, you wear the heartache, you wear the feelings, you wear it on your sleeve, and it keeps you up at night. But it also drives you, and it almost becomes the fear of losing becomes greater than the joy of winning. So the staff felt it, the players felt it, everybody felt it. And I guess the one thing that you truly have to admire and appreciate about this season and how we all got here, it would have been very easy when last year ended like it did for Julien Brisebois to say, that's it, doesn't work, we need to change it, fire the coach, clean house on the staff, blow up the roster, move players out, we got to redo this. That's the easy way out, especially a general manager who was on the job for one full year. That was his first full year. And remember, he didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. Didn't really mess with the roster much at all. The only trade that he made really in season was acquiring Jan Ruda from Chicago for Slater Cuckoo. You know, he felt that the team last year deserved the opportunity to try and finish a job that they had started with the record-breaking season that they'd had. So it would have been easy as a general manager to sit back and say, that's it. We gotta change it. We gotta change things around. We gotta move it around. And he didn't. And not only did he not fire the coach, they put together they did a lot of work in the offseason about how do you get better? What areas do we need to improve? Why did we lose this series to Columbus the way we did? What is holding us back? And they took, rather than taking an emotional approach, they took a rational approach and an analytical approach. And I don't mean analytical in the sense of the advanced numbers and the advanced stats. I don't mean that type of analytics. It's analyzing. It's understanding what you have and how it can be better. And they had some breaks go their way in doing this. You know, the first one started with the trade of JT Miller at the draft last year in Vancouver, where you trade an asset and you get back basically a draft pick in return. That was kind of his first, Julien Brisebois' first signature move was that one. And then you start to look at what he was able to accomplish and make this team better. Make the roster look different. On July 1, he signs Curtis McElhaney. And how many eyebrows were raised when McElhaney was signed when the team still had Louis Domingue under contract? Think about that for a second. God, that seems like forever ago. You know, he signs Luke Shen. Everybody was like, whoa, Luke Shen, he could barely make the Canucks last year. He bounced up and down between the Canucks and, you know, their minor league team. Utica, right? So he, you know, how are they signing him? So those were basically the two big moves on July 1. And then Pat Maroon lands in their lap because Pat Maroon's having a hard time even coming off of his championship season with St. Louis the year before. Figures he has an opportunity on a team-friendly contract to come in and be reunited with John Cooper, who coached him as a teenager in Texarkana and St. Louis. Kevin Shattenkirk gets bought out by the New York Rangers, and that opens up an opportunity for the Lightning to add a right-handed shot defenseman, which they were sort of on the lookout for. So they're able to bring him in. And then you get to the trade deadline, and the well-documented acquisitions of Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman, and then Zach Bogosian lands in their lap because his contract is bought out by the Buffalo Sabres, and they bring him in. And a player who had never appeared in a playoff game now is going to have his name on the Stanley Cup. You know, so it's just, even early in the season, which was just a little over a year ago now, when the team was struggling out of the gate, they had a hard time dealing with the hangover, if you will. We talk about Stanley Cup hangover as well. This was a different type of hangover that the team was dealing with. And, you know, you even heard Pat Maroon a couple of times during the season, and Kevin Shattenkirk a couple of times in the early part of the season, saying that they could still see in some ways the players were hanging on to what happened last year. So it took a while for them to find their game. So how much pressure was there on the coaching staff and Julien Brisebois as the team, by the time we got to Christmas, was a middle-of-the-road team, couldn't string together wins, struggling to find some traction in the season about halfway through? Like, think of the pressure. It could have been easy again to say, okay, look, we gave it half a year. It's not going to work. We need something to boost this team. And he didn't do it. He stuck with the plan. And I think that's the big thing in all of this is sticking with the plan, the grand plan, but tweaking it along the way. And John Cooper has mentioned this a few times throughout this run to the playoffs here, run through the playoffs, that they didn't have to change things drastically. They just wanted to tweak a few things. And you've heard me talk about the puck management was a big thing. How they managed the games were a big thing. So along this path, along this journey, to see this team lift up the cup 16 years after winning it the first time. By the way, they are the first team in the second wave of expansion era. So this is not the original six. This is not the WHA merger. This is the second wave of expansion that included teams like San Jose and Florida and Minnesota and Columbus and all these teams. They're the first one to win a second cup. You've had teams win, like the Anaheim Ducks, you know, winning a cup. But they're the first team to win two. They're the first team to get to three cup finals, I believe. But they are the first team that won two. So a job well-earned, well-deserved. Feel so very happy for a lot of those players, the coaching staff, everybody that's has their name all over this championship run. It was special. It was special to see. And this is going to be something that we never, ever forget. As the first team to crown a champion in the COVID era. And they did it in a bubble in two cities where the players were basically quarantined off from the rest of the world. They were kept away from the rest of the world. Everything was inside these little areas that they had, whether that was in Toronto or whether that was in Edmonton. The scenery never changed. You go back to the same hotel room every day. You see the same people every day. You see the same probably hotel employees, and all that was probably always the same. You know, you couldn't take a walk on a different path. You only had certain areas you could go to. It's just kudos big time to the NHL and the NHLPA for putting this plan together and pulling it off almost perfectly. I mean, there weren't really any hiccups along the way. The biggest hiccup was probably at the beginning of the tournament where there was a storm that caused some flood damage in Edmonton at the hotel. Didn't really affect the rink, but that was about the only blip that we've had. You had, what, 8-9 weeks of COVID testing all came back 0% positive cases. So the league and the NHLPA deserves a ton of credit for pulling this off, for making this happen in this crazy world that we're in right now. So the question now is, how did it happen? Well, this playoffs, there was, like, you could not have really written this script any better. That's a key phrase there, because you go all the way back to training camp, and how many times did you hear head coach John Cooper, GM general manager Julien Brisebois discuss how they wanted to write a new story? They knew they couldn't erase last year. It's in the history books forever. You can't erase it. So go write a new story. And that's why I'm saying you could not have scripted what took place in this playoffs much better. I mean, think about it. Under the real world, in the real world scenario, there's almost no chance they play Columbus in the first round, right? Almost impossible the way things were setting up. They were 8 points behind the Boston Bruins in the standings at the time of the pause. And they were, I don't even know how many points ahead of Toronto. They were pretty much locked into that number two spot, and they were also pretty much locked into facing Toronto. Outside chance, it could have been Florida. But instead, because of the way this is set up, with the round robin, even with, you know, playing for a seed, even with Columbus having to knock off the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then you had to have Montreal knock off Pittsburgh to set this up, to face Columbus in the first round, I think they welcomed that challenge. I think they wanted that challenge. But again, you couldn't have scripted it because the script wouldn't have allowed it. So you have this dumb COVID crap that's out there. Set it up. So you face the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round, and then you play the fourth longest game in NHL playoff history with a 5 overtime marathon. So this is your road to redemption. This is the writing of the new story of this team, and it starts with the redemption tour facing the Columbus Blue Jackets, the team that knocked you out in the playoffs last year, and all those questions come up, and all you see that uniform on the other side, different team, but you see the uniform on the other side, and you know it had to have brought back some painful memories, but I think that's the challenge they needed. I think that's exactly what they needed to kind of get their attention. So then you move past Columbus in 5 games, and 2 of those were in overtime, right? The 5 overtime game, and then the clincher was in overtime as well. So you win that series in 5 games. And then who's second? The Boston Bruins, arguably your biggest rival that's out there right now. David Pastrnak and everybody's favorite rat, Brad Marchand, or Marchand, I'm not sure what he wants to be called this month. Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, Charlie Coyle, Torrey Krug, Charlie McAvoy. You know, that's your biggest rival. And just think back to March the 7th game in Boston and how that meant. So, you know, that's your biggest rival. Well, that's who you face next, right? And you beat them in 5 games. And again, close, because you lose game 1. Game 2 is overtime. You get to game 5 and it's a double overtime game. I mean, that series could have easily shifted another way, but, you know, the Lightning just kind of went about their business and did what they do. And then who comes along in the conference finals? Well, it's the coach that knocked you out in 2018. Barry Trotz, different team, same coach. So you push past that. And then you have Rick Bowness, former associate coach, was the coach of this team just 2 years ago. He was with the team when they lost in 2018. And now he's standing in your way. Again, you could not have written this path to a championship and how they had to go about it in a more perfect way than the way it played out. So congratulations, Tampa Bay Lightning. Congratulations, Tampa Bay Lightning fans. I've seen the heartache. I've seen the pain. I've witnessed it. So I know what this means to you, the fan, as well. And a couple of things to kind of touch on with the actual game itself, now that I've talked about the path to get to the championship. How good were they in the first 2 periods? Like, how good were they? Dallas had 8 shots on goal through 2 periods. They're fighting for their lives. They're trying to stay alive. And fatigue might have been a factor. You know, Dallas was pretty banged up. Already without Blake Como. Missing Rupe Hintz. Radek Foxa was out. Of course, we know Ben Bishop was out. Steven Johns, the defenseman, had been out for a while. You know, we heard that I think Tyler Seguin, I think, played through a hip and a groin issue throughout the most of the postseason. So, you know, he was dealing with that. So fatigue could have come into play here. But I also think that Tampa Bay knew what they had to do. And, you know, you establish the forecheck and you get in deep and you sacrifice in your own end. And, you know, a little shaky there to start that first power play opportunity they had was a little shaky. Dallas actually had the best chance on Tampa Bay's power play at the end. I think Miro Heiskanen had an opportunity shorthanded. That was turned aside. One of the few shots that Dallas did have through the first couple of periods, but they really settled into their game. Who else but Braden Point opens the scoring, his 14th goal of the postseason, which is a new franchise single-season playoff record, breaking the number of 13, which Tyler Johnson had held in 2015. Of course, Nikita Kucherov gets the primary assists, and he reaches glorified or rarefied air, because that assist ends up being his 27th of the postseason. The only players in playoff history that have had more than 27 assists in a playoff season are Wayne Gretzky, who did it 4 times, and Mario Lemieux. That's it. And Nikita Kucherov, his 27th assist of the playoffs, and then Victor Hedman had the primary assist. It was a marvel to watch this play because, again, it's a power play, but Victor Hedman is a little low in the offensive zone. Puck gets cleared. He chases it down, prevents a Dallas player from getting to the puck, quickly circles back around and makes a quick up-ice pass to Nikita Kucherov, who leaves a puck for Braden Point to come in, get a shot off, stopped by Anton Khudobin, rebound straight to Braden Point. It's 1-0 in the first period. And to show you how crazy things can be sometimes, that power play was drawn by Alex Volkov. Alex Volkov, who had only played about a dozen games with the team during the season, has been with the team in the bubble the whole time, hadn't appeared in a game, had taken part in a few pregame warm-ups, but never played into a game. So it was a surprise to see him in the lineup. But he draws that power play because his hustle negated an icing call that led to the trip. Andrew Cogliano, John Klingberg, is the one who ended up tripping him up. But it's because of his hustle and negate the icing that set it all up. Little things. And then in the second period, Tampa Bay takes a 2-0 lead. Great play by Pat Maroon. He's coming off the bench on a line change, and he knocks a pass out of the air and creates basically a 3-on-2. He's able to quickly feed Cedric Paquette, and we don't talk much about Cedric Paquette. Fourth-line grinder, agitator, penalty killer, doesn't grab a lot of the headlines. The pass that Cedric Paquette made to Blake Coleman to set up the one-timer was a brilliant pass. It's a brilliant pass. You know, we don't talk much about some of those capabilities that Cedric Paquette has, but that was a great pass. He set it up, and it's 2-0, and it's pretty much game over. It's game over. Tampa Bay was not losing this game with a 2-goal lead. Wasn't going to happen. They were not going to lose a Stanley Cup and force a Game 7 by blowing a 2-goal lead. Yeah, Dallas had 14 shots in the third period after having just 8 combined in the first two. But was there any time where you felt that Dallas was like coming? Like they were really pushing? Look, they were going to push. They were playing for their lives. Their season was on the line. They still were that close to a Stanley Cup. But did you ever feel like they were just in complete control? Even in that period, the shot attempts 5-on-5 were 20-9. Like it didn't feel that way because Tampa Bay was sacrificing. They were getting in the way. They were blocking shots, you know. So closed it out, and very fitting, as many people have pointed out, that Andre Vasilevsky, whose numbers are normally Conn Smythe worthy, didn't really get talked about much in that conversation, but they were definitely Conn Smythe worthy in just about any other year. Pitches his first shutout of the postseason. That was his first shutout. So he played every single minute. Every single minute of this postseason. And that was his first shutout. And his numbers were still spectacular. That's kind of incredible to think about, that with all the hockey that he played and with numbers, you know, his goals against is below 2.0, finishes at 1.9, the save percentage at 927. Again, normally numbers that are good enough to be in the conversation. 7-0 following a loss, that really stands out. That includes the game tonight. And he makes 22 saves. This is a nice little stat dug up by the NHL. He is the second goalie all time who recorded his first shutout of the playoffs in a Stanley Cup clinching game. The only other goalie to do that was Tom Barrasso in 1991. That's, again, not talking a lot about Andrei Vasilevskiy, but he earned all these wins for the team. His minutes played, by the way, he played every single minute, as I mentioned, outside of 13 minutes and 2 seconds, which is the time that he was off the ice for extra attacker goals. He ended up playing a total of 1,708 minutes and 12 seconds, which is, I believe that's a record. I think I read that somewhere. I'm trying to go through here. Yeah, record for minutes played by a goaltender. He is also just the 10th different goaltender in the expansion era, which started in 67-68, to be the only player to play in goal for a team. Right, so he played every minute. He was the only goalie on the ice at any time during the game. It's the first time that's happened since 2013.
Don't be left out. Make sure you subscribe to the Lightning Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else where podcasts are found. Now, here again is Eric.
So some really, really wicked numbers from Andrei Vasilevskiy. The trio of, talked about a little bit, Kucherov, Point, and Hedman, of course, they hook up on the game-winning goal. Kucherov's 34 points, obviously a franchise record. It's the second highest point total by any player in the last 26 years. Finished with 34 points in 25 games. Maybe that will quiet some of the crowd who think that Nikita Kucherov never shows up in the playoffs. Didn't score a lot of goals in this playoffs, only 7. But he was an assist machine. He was a man on a mission for a team on a mission. And then Victor Hedman wins the Conn Smythe. Mentioned that earlier, but he finishes the postseason with 10 goals. It is the third most by a defenseman in an NHL single playoff season. Mentioned this before, but Paul Coffey holds the record at 12. Brian Leetch is second at 11. And now Victor Hedman is third with 10. He set franchise records for goals, points, plus minus, even strength goals, game-winning goals, and shots by a defenseman in a Lightning franchise playoff year. And here's the other cool one, too. Brayden Point finished with 5 goals in the Stanley Cup final, 5 goals and 8 points. Kucherov also finished with 8 points, a goal, and 7 assists. They had 3 straight multi-point games in the finals. They're the first set of teammates since 1994 to each record a point streak of 5 or more games in the Cup final. Mark Messier and Alex Kovalev did it for the Rangers in 1994. Messier scored in 6 of the 7 games, and Kovalev had a 5-game scoring streak. And points, 5 goals in the final are tied for the most by any player in the last 30 years. And Kucherov and Point are the first set of Stanley Cup winning teammates to each record 8 or more points in the final since 1991, when Mario Lemieux, Larry Murphy, and Joe Mullen did it for Pittsburgh against the North Stars. So some incredible numbers coming out of that top line in particular, especially the trio there of Hedman, Point, and Kucherov. And then how cool was it to see Steven Stamkos skate out on the ice, cup over his head, just ecstatic beyond anything you could dream of. And you think about what he has done, what he's meant to this franchise, and even though he wasn't really able to participate in these playoffs, what it meant for him. And that's why you go back to Game 3 and the impact that he had in those 2 minutes and 47 seconds of glorious hockey that he gave us, scoring a goal. It's too bad that didn't stand as the game winner. That would have made the story even better. Dallas scored a garbage goal in the third period, or else that would have stood as the game-winning goal. But so cool, so awesome to see him award the Stanley Cup to come out. He said he didn't dress until there were about 2 minutes left to go in the third period because, as superstitious as hockey players are, he did not want to jinx anything, with the team. So very cool to kind of see it. Lightning fans, I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. You deserve this. You earn this. You've been there with this team for the past 5-plus years, felt the heartache along with them, felt the disappointment along with them. Many of you have felt anger towards them. And especially after what happened last year, it's a shame that you did not get to witness this in person. It's a shame that you did not get to be a part of the journey, except for being the distant Thunder. Doesn't lessen it in any way. Just as it didn't lessen it for the players, it doesn't lessen it for the fans in any way, shape, or form. So revel in it. Enjoy it. You're never going to see a championship like this again. Let's hope not. And enjoy it. And I want to tell you about this too. If you follow my Twitter feed, if not, it was a pretty stressful week for me last week. If anybody subscribes to my site, you notice I didn't have a ton of copy up there outside of game stuff. It's because I was working on a book, and the book was only going to happen if they won, and they did. But it's going to be a 128-page commemorative book that's being published by Triumph Books. There's a ton of stuff in there, a lot of game-related stuff, of course, but also some original stuff that's in there. So if you're interested in that book, if you just go to triumphbooks.com and you look for the Lightning Strikes book, you can actually pre-order it now. It's expected to be in stores pretty quickly if you want to find it in stores, but you can also pre-order it. And if you want this commemorative book, it's $14.95. Again, triumphbooks.com. Just search for Lightning Strikes. You'll find it. You can pre-order it, and I hope you enjoy it. It was a lot of work to put into it. It was a lot of work to get everything together, a lot of editing, a lot of original writing, even writing the Game 6 recap deep into the morning hours to get it done. But it is available for pre-order now, so just go to triumphbooks.com for that. Couple other things to pass along as well. We want to get to the trivia question winner, which I'll announce here in a couple of minutes. But you know, we've had this Smack Apparel partnership going on here. They have a brand new shirt out. I know we've been pumping the Party Like It's 2004 shirt. They have a new one out, and I think you're going to like it because it's a new design, that they've put together. And I got to find the mock-up here as I'm talking. It says Stanley's getting a tan. And it, here it is. They will be out. They'll be available starting tomorrow. The front of the shirt says, "We got the cup." And the back of the shirt says, "Stanley gets another tan." If you go to smackapparel.com, you can order these shirts. And you can still use, I have a special promo code. If you use Lightning2020, that's Lightning2020, you'll get 20% off that shirt. So that's smackapparel.com. And the coupon code is Lightning2020. That'll give you, that's my exclusive code. That'll give you 20% off that shirt or any other Lightning shirt that they have in stock. So look for that again. That's smackapparel.com. It's on the front. It says, "We got the cup." And on the back, it says, Stanley gets another tan. So look for that at smackapparel.com. All right, before we get to your questions, let's get to our trivia contest winner. The trivia question, winner gets a free t-shirt from Smack Apparel. The trivia question was this: who, in 2004, when the Lightning last won the Stanley Cup, they scored a total of 13 goals in the postseason, but they were only scored by five different players. So who were those five different players? Well, the answers were Brad Richards, Ruslan Fedotenko, Dan Boyle, Freddie Modine, and of course, Marty St. Louis. So those were your five goal scorers during the 2004 Stanley Cup Final Series against the Calgary Flames. And the winner who gave me the correct answer is Mark Breslow. Mark Breslow is the winner of a free t-shirt courtesy of Smack Apparel. Mark, I will be in touch with you in the next day or so to get your size preference and your mailing address as well. So congratulations, Mark. We'll do more podcasts. This is not the last podcast by any stretch of the imagination. So we've got at least one more t-shirt to give away. So we'll do one more sort of trivia contest or something for it. So if you haven't won a t-shirt yet, you still have an opportunity to do so. All right, let's get to the questions before we wrap this up, because quite a few of them that came in from a couple from Chris. Do you think that Volkov got the draw tonight for sentimental reasons to get his name on the cup? I know you are a big proponent of that. And of course he has the sarcasm face that he has on it. Yeah. Because I've been asked by this by a couple of people, you don't put a player in the lineup in the Stanley Cup final because you want them to get their name on the cup. You put them in the lineup because they're giving you the best chance to win the game. And that's why Alex Volkov was in the lineup tonight. Interesting decision. Also from Chris, did they extend the time of the third period? Seemed like the first 6 minutes took 2 hours. Yeah, that's when you're trying to do that, the clock does seem to slow down quite a bit, doesn't it? Pat wants to know why with 10 minutes the NBC Sportsnet, actually it was NBC, the game was on NBC, says that you got to give Tampa skaters some credit. Why do they hate the Lightning? I don't think they hate the Lightning. I think that sometimes we hear that way, but it did seem in a lot of ways that for whatever reason, it did feel that way at times. I don't think it was necessarily, but I think it did feel that way. From Mike, perfect time for a shutout, great defense and work by everyone. It was a complete team effort tonight, there's no doubt. From Doug, how poetic is it that the first shutout of the playoffs comes in the finals clinching game? Yeah, it felt fitting, didn't it, that to get his first one. And, you know, the comments when Andre Vasilevskiy was asked that, even Alex Killorn said, finally, because, you know, they've been trying to get him one. Not that, I mean, the wins are the most important thing, but They certainly felt good to get him. He deserved a shutout. He earned a shutout in this postseason. Like, you think back to 2004 with Nikolai Habibulin. I mean, he had, what, three shutouts and the four wins against the Islanders in the first round? You know, and here Andrei Vasilevskiy, for all the great work that he did, you know, hadn't been rewarded with a shutout until tonight. But that ultimately, that doesn't matter. All that matters was the wins, and he got 16 of them, 18 if you want to count the round robin, to put this team into the record books as the 2020 Stanley Cup champion. Ryan wants to know if Eddie Ocek is unhappy with the Bolts winning tonight. I don't think he really cared one way or the other. From Chris, do you think the fact they got Columbus first round again helped this amazing team to get focused on this run started? As this run started, yeah, I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Even, you know, John Cooper had mentioned it, even after they beat Columbus the first time, that, you know, they were happy they got that matchup first. Like, it was a great way to exercise what had happened last year and kind of not move on from it, but to move past the disappointment of last year, what ends up being the first step down the road to this journey. Great question here from Joyce, who, along with Tampa Sports Girl, is John Cooper the only coach to win at every level of hockey? They were talking about it and thought that I might know. I don't know that question for certain, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably the case, because I read a little bit earlier, he's only the eighth coach to have won a Calder Cup championship and a Stanley Cup. So that narrows the field right there to eight. And I don't know, I didn't see who those coaches were. I'm sure at some point I'll find it along the way. But I'm going to guess that none of those other coaches also won at the USHL level and the NHL level. That's a pure, not even an educated guess. It's a guess. So I'm going to go that he's probably the first one to have won at all four of those levels. Another one from Mike. Great all-around defensive game by everyone. Great time for Vasilevskiy's first shutout of the playoffs. I still think point should have been the Conn Smythe winner, though you can't complain with Hedman being the choice. It was a close vote, I can tell you that. I think the voting pool was 18 participants in the voting pool. I think Victor Hedman got 9 first place votes and Braden Point got 8. And I think they both got the same number of second place votes. And I think Braden Point had 1 extra third place vote compared to Victor Hedman. So it was a close vote. I don't think he could have gone wrong. If you could have picked Nikita Kucherov, you wouldn't have been wrong. You could have picked Andrei Vasilevskiy. I don't think you would have been wrong. But I think what Victor Hedman did with the amount of ice time that he had and putting up the offensive numbers that nobody's put up for a long time, I think that was probably what put that over the edge. From J.E., how good does it feel? When's the parade? You know, look, it felt good for me that they won because the book gets published. but it was nice to see. It was very nice to see the team, you know, win the cup. They deserved it. They earned it. It was really, really cool to see the parade. It's apparently there's going to be a boat parade. The boat parade is going to take place. There's two celebrations that are taking place. This is from the team. On Wednesday at 5:00, there'll be a boat parade along the Riverwalk and the Hillsborough River. Fans are encouraged to safely gather along the Riverwalk, exercising proper social distancing guidelines, including wearing face coverings. So again, that's 5:00 along the Riverwalk on Wednesday the 30th. And then there will also be a celebration at Raymond James Stadium. That will be at 7:30 on Wednesday. There is free parking at 5:30. The doors will open at 6:30. You do need a ticket to get in. The tickets are free. You can find them on Ticketmaster starting on Tuesday at 1 p.m. So hopefully you listen to this in the morning and we're able to get your tickets on Ticketmaster by 1 p.m. It says socially distant pod seating will apply with groups available for 1 to 6 people. The tickets will only be delivered via your mobile device. So again, the boat parade along the Hillsborough River and the Riverwalk will be at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and then the celebration at Raymond James Stadium will be at 7:30. So hopefully that answered the proper questions for everyone. From Beezer, do you think the bubble affected the difficulty of winning the cup, with mental health being more of an issue with the lack of support from family, bubble life versus travel being eliminated? Yeah, there's no doubt that the mental stress, they're already in a stressful environment. And what are some of the best ways that if you're in that situation, if you're a pro athlete in those situations and you're in the middle of a championship run, you know, sometimes on days off, you can kind of step away from the game for a short period of time, right? Like you can go be with your family. You can go have a dinner with your family. You can celebrate playoff round victories with your family, right? I mean, think about the number of days they had off between, you know, beating the Bruins and facing the Islanders. It was 7 to 8 days between games. And so it wasn't the same. You know, instead, you're there with your teammates and you have limited options to occupy your mind. So, yeah, I think that I think that as many people have said, if anybody wants to put an asterisk on this championship, it's because it's probably the hardest to ever win. Yeah, there's no travel involved, but there's different types of stresses that are involved. You have to manufacture your own energy, all of that. So, yeah, I think that it definitely affected everything. Eric Romine wants to know, did this feel like more of a victory over NBC or the Dallas Stars? I'm going to go with the Dallas Stars. I know where you're coming from, Eric, but I'm going to go with the Dallas Stars. From Drew, simply ask, is this real? Yes, Drew, this is real. This happened. So in the crap of 2020, you have a Stanley Cup championship coming to Tampa. It is real. From Eric Bronstein, do you think this cup is more satisfying than 2004? I do. Look, you never forget your first. But this one, because of the journey that this team took, because of the situation that they're in, like for how many months did we not even, we weren't even sure if there was even going to be a Stanley Cup champion awarded this year. That took a while. So I think it is more satisfying. Sometimes when you have the taste of disappointment and failure that this team had, makes winning actually that much sweeter. So yeah, I think this one was more satisfying. They're both great. You know, obviously no links between the two, but I think this one is more satisfying from a fan standpoint because of all the anguish that you've had to deal with. There's a couple of questions in here that involve next season. Let's save those questions for the off-season one because that's going to come at us quick because the draft is in a week and free agency starts a week from Friday. So let's save some of those off-season questions. They're valid questions, obviously, but let's save some of those until the next podcast, which will be kind of looking ahead to the draft and the offseason. Edward wants to know how many goals scored by Hedman or Stamkos have been assisted on by the other. Ooh, I wish I had that question. I wish I had that answer readily available. I don't. So let's maybe I'll have to revisit that one, Edward, and kind of get an answer for you, but I'm sure it's a lot. There's another one here if that's about the off season. From Mark, again, hello. All the way over in Barcelona, Mark, I'd like to thank you in this moment full of joy. Absolutely loved your work with the podcast. Thank you very much, Mark. Also a fun or not fun fact, the Lightning have only won the Stanley Cup when the following season is a big question mark. Are they cursed? Anyway, how are you feeling? As I record this, it's very late in the night, a little tired. I don't know if you can hear my voice getting tired a little bit, but look, it's great. It's great to see this. Again, I'm happy for the players, and I'm happy for you guys, the fans, who have followed this team along for so many years. And about the question mark, I remember when they won in 2004, that lockout was looming, and it happened, and the entire season was wiped out. So they were the longest reigning Stanley Cup champions in history, and now we head into this offseason without knowing when next season will be. We know when the offseason begins, and it's going to come fast. We just don't know when next season's going to start or what it's going to look like. So, but hey, a championship is a championship. From Thomas, what should I do the next nights without hockey? Spend some time with family, do a Zoom call with friends, find something on Netflix. I tell you one thing I've been doing, sitting up late night doing all these, all this writing. I've been on my Disney Plus, just rewatching all the Marvel movies. I've watched every single one of them during this run, with the exception of a couple. I have not watched either the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and I have not watched Doctor Strange again, and I have not watched Endgame. But I've watched every other one. All the Iron Mans, all the Thors, all the Captain Americas, all the Avengers, with the exception of Endgame, Black Panther. I've watched them all. So that's something you could do. From Mike, the Cup would not have happened without a great owner, GM, and coaches and staff of equipment managers and trainers. Absolutely, the support staff that the players, they will tell you that they're the most valuable player people in the organization, especially the equipment guys and the medical trainers. It's a very underrated part of what a team goes through. From David, this seems like a pretty dominant playoff performance. No series ever seemed in doubt, only lost 6 games overall. Yep, and never got pushed to a 7th game. Led every single series 3-1 at one point, closed 2 of them out in 5, closed the other 2 out in 6. Again, it just felt like they were on a mission, right? It just kind of felt that way. Pat wants to know, when do you think next season starts? When this return to play format was announced, it was they were planning on like a mid-November. I think the date was November 17th for training camps, with a target of December 1st to start. I think you can throw that out the window. It was never announced by the league. That was just kind of what had been talked about. But with so much uncertainty right now, with so much, look, the league needs fans in the stands. And, you know, they'll monitor how the NFL does. They'll monitor some of the college football games. Now, those are outdoor sports, so they're a little different. But they'll monitor that, and they'll see. I think at this point, I don't think you can expect that the next season will start any sooner than January 1st. There's talk about even pushing it back later. We still got a lot of uncertainty in the world right now, right? So they don't have a date. I don't know when we'll get a date. It's just something that they're going to have to kind of look at and monitor as we go through. Again, more off-season questions from Lightning FCB. Who was your MVP for the finals? Fun fact, Point is now second all-time for 5-on-5 points in NHL playoffs history in a single postseason, surpassing Lemieux and only behind Gretzky. What do you think about the cup clinching game being the only shutout we got? My playoff, and well, so you're asking the MVP of the finals. I assume that means it's different from Conn Smythe. My Conn Smythe was definitely, I was very solidly in Victor Hedman's corner for what he meant. But if we're talking just the finals MVP, it's hard not to say Braden Point. I mean, he had 5 goals in the finals. And you know, think back to his goal in game 4. Right, they're down 2-0, and he scores a goal less than a minute after Dallas takes a 2-0 lead. I mean, those are like important goals. Obviously, he gets the game-winning goal tonight. I would say it's Braden Point for the finals. This is sort of next season, but I'll answer that anyway because it relates to tonight. Because Mike says Alex Volkov was very good, should be an important contributor for 2021. I think you can pencil him into the lineup. I wouldn't put him down in permanent ink, but I would pencil him in for next year because they believe he is an NHL player. That's why you saw him come up and get some time this year. And then again, part of the look ahead of the offseason show, we'll deal with some of that, but with some of the changes we think are coming, they're going to need some forwards, and I think he's a prime candidate to kind of fit in there. Mike also wants to know what were the point totals for the Conn Smythe. I would think that point had to be close. I did mention that it was, Hedman got one extra first place vote that kind of put him over the edge. Evgeny says, I don't believe it. Is this real life? Never been happier. Bought so much merchandise. I have to work overtime all week to make up for it, but it's worth it. The Tampa Bay Lightning are Stanley Cup champions. I just want to know your overall assessment and how the Bolts closed it out. Closed it out wonderfully. You know, a lot of people were skeptical after what happened, losing the double overtime game on Saturday, and how they would come out tonight. I think they answered that question emphatically. They knew what was in front of them, and that was just awesome to see. From Ryan, how you feeling tonight? You have been keeping me sane since this whole thing had started. I need to know your thoughts on this. You are a great insider, and I love your work. Thank you very, very much, Ryan. I appreciate the kind words. Again, it's incredible to watch. It's the only thing I miss was not being there to see it. Right? I remember in 2004, being up in my spot there in the press box and watching the whole celebration take place. And that's the only thing that I wish I could have had was the opportunity to see it in person along with 20,000 other people. It would have been great, but it is what it is, and this is where we're at. From Tony, finally, ! What a group we have. Understandably, other teams will be strengthening for next season. What do you think we'll do in the offseason? Potentially lose some of the players while maintaining a strong core group? Yeah, we'll get to that one in the next podcast when we look ahead to the postseason. Or the offseason. Another one from Mike, the motivational speaker brought in by the Lightning was a great move. Same person, University of Virginia, brought in after they were upset at number 16 seed. I did not know that fact, but it was interesting that John Cooper, first of all, if you saw the quick interview he did with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN, the clip is out there, but he did have that University of Virginia hat, and he did have it on the table when he did a Zoom media conference call. And basically said, not that they use it as motivation, but, they basically saw that, of course, Virginia, the only number one seed in the NCAA basketball tournament to be knocked out in the first round by a 16 seed, and then came back the next year and won the tournament. So they kind of viewed themselves with that a little bit. So very interesting that they use that as a little bit of motivation. Brown Crow wants to know any postseason injury news. Look, we didn't have a chance to ask those questions tonight, right? I don't know if you saw any of the videos. The guys were, let's say they were a few champagnes deep by the time they got to us. So, injury questions were not going to come up. I don't know what, if any, we'll get out of that. Maybe in a few days when, Julien Brisebois meets with us or something, but don't have that information right now. From JN6500, how does it feel, my man? It's a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling to see that. From Mike again, Vasilevsky had the best save, non-save with his skate when Dallas was called for a penalty. Would go up there with his behind-the-back save against the Kings. Yeah, that was an Anze Kopitar shot that you continue to see in the highlight reel. Yeah, that was a great save that didn't matter because Corey Perry was getting called for a penalty for interference. But that's Vazzy doing Vazzy things. The Lightning's 86% penalty kill was the best of any team that went on to at least the second round. They were certainly fueled. It looked shaky to begin with, right? I mean, think back to Columbus and think back to the Boston series. But they certainly turned it around against the Islanders, and it was fantastic in this series. What I think Dallas went 1-for-19, I think they ended up going. They were 0-for-3 again tonight. Killing off 18-for-19 will certainly help that. ATF, the over-under, 0.5 more Stanley Cups with this core group. Let's revisit that, and we find out which members are still here when we get there. So I've only just managed to get the radio show to actually play a book. Details, please. I mentioned the book. Triumphbooks.com is where you can pre-order it. It's called Lightning Strikes. So I'll have some more information as we start to roll that out here in the coming days as they finalize a cover photo and everything like that. So, Brandon, thank you for the full season of podcast. You're welcome, Brandon. Now that it's over, are you heading to Disney? Just kidding. Where are you going to decompress and relax? We are all Stanley Cup winners. That's right. Like, this is a community thing, right? Like, it's one of the great things about hockey. It's so community-based. Like, it's, you guys are such a passionate fan base, and you deserve this. And I totally agree with that assessment. As far as what I'm going to do, I don't know. I don't know. Definitely some time, that I'm going to get to, catch up on some of my Netflix, catch up on some of my Disney Plus, and there's a couple things in HBO Max I want to watch. I'm definitely going to get caught up on some of that. Besides that, I don't know. Look, we already have a date reservation to go over Disney here in a couple of weeks because the Food and Wine Festival is still going on, so I think that'll help. Derek wants to know, what do you think the thought process was to play Volkov over Verhaeghe or Stevens? I think they must have saw something in practice, a hunger or something in him. Because it's funny, we talked about the faceoffs and some of the struggles that the team had had, especially in Game 4. Got a little bit better in Game 5, so then he thought, okay, well, Mitchell Stevens can win faceoffs. Well, so what happened tonight? Well, they were 53% on faceoffs. Braden Point in particular was 12-for-16 in the faceoff dot. Big chunk of that, but Anthony Cirelli was 6-for-10, so he's at 60%. I just think it just came down to they must have felt or seen something in Volkov, a gut feeling, if you will, and it certainly paid off because, his hustle play drew that first power play from Steven. No questions here, just a proud Lightning fan. This team absolutely deserved the cup, and the fans should be so proud of what this team has accomplished over the past 5 years. Thanks for your podcast, and definitely helped soothe the pain after the losses. Thank you, Steven. I appreciate you passing along some kind words. This is a little about next season, but I'm going to handle this one because it's not also from Robbie. How do you think the Stanley Cup will change the dynamic of contract negotiations? Is it a chip on the shoulder of management or the players? Also, Bobby Ryan was bought out, and I can't help but think he could be another Shattenkirk surprise if Tampa takes interest. It's hard for me to see them looking at a player and bringing in you're looking at a situation to where they need to cut. They need to move out players. That's why, you think about the deals for Coleman and Goodrow, they still have a year left on their contract. So they're still here for another year. You're probably going to see an increased role from Carter Verhaeghe. We just talked about Alex Volkov. It's hard to see them adding too much, especially since they're going to need a right-handed shot defenseman most likely. So we'll see how that plays out. I know that's next year looking ahead, but as far as how winning the Stanley Cup changes contract negotiations, it can, depending on the player, depending on the agent, what kind of they want to leverage that. But there's not a lot of UFAs that Tampa's looking to bring back. You know, we know about Sorelli and Sergachev in particular, and Eric Chernak as well, you know, what they might do. But, I don't know, in this age, in the uncertainty financially of what's going on, I'm not 100% sure if it's going to change too much, because there's just a lot of uncertainty out there in the financial world with COVID. And until we get fans back in the stands, I don't know how much it's going to change. It's going to negatively affect, I think, negotiations, but we will have to see for sure. All right. Well, that is going to wrap up this championship edition of the Lightning Insider podcast. Thank you so much for all the support that you have given this. We launched this starting with game one of this playoffs. We've given you post-game recaps. We'll get on to a different type of schedule moving forward. I want to thank Smack Apparel for providing the free t-shirts and the coupon code. Don't forget, they have those new shirts, those Stanley's Getting Another Tan shirts that they have at smackapparel.com. If you use my coupon code Lightning2020, you'll get 20% off of any Lightning merchandise that they have, any Tampa Bay hockey merchandise that they have. So check that out. Thanks for the questions. Keep them coming. We'll do this again. We'll get more, we'll get some heads up on some of the questions. I'll handle some of the off-season ones. In the meantime, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Your Tampa Bay Lightning are Stanley Cup champions. It's glorious. The craziest season ever. Steven Stamkos with the biggest 2 minutes and 47 seconds ever recorded in Stanley Cup final history. It's a wonderful sight to see. Soak it in. Enjoy it. You earned it. You deserved it. We'll do this again here in the next coming days. So until then, thanks for listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.